The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Now, you know Lawrence Donegan well as a regular contributor to this programme for many years about golf. We also had him on as a Culture Club guest once because he used to play with Lloyd Cole and the Commotions. But he's also got a really keen political eye, and that's what he's spending his time doing in the United States at present in the run-up to this presidential election, which is only 2.5 weeks away. And, well, he can tell you what he's up to. Lawrence, great to have you on the programme again. Tell us about what you've been doing on the roads of America since the start of September, please.
Yeah, well, I am researching a book, Matt, which will be published next year. I live in San Francisco, and I'm travelling across the country. The American presidential election is traditionally kind of seen as starting on September the 4th, Labour Day. So I've been travelling from the Golden Gate Bridge all the way across America, and I'll arrive in Mar-a-Lago on the night of November the 5th, which, as everybody knows, is election night. So far, Matt, I've been in 27 states. I have travelled, I think, about 7,000 or 8,000 miles. I've been to 6 Donald Trump rallies, 2 Kamala Harris rallies. I've spoken to, I'm just writing a piece this morning for my Substack on I've spoken to neo-Nazis. I spoke to a neo-Nazi the other day, as you do. I have spoken to voters in swing states. I've spoken to lots of really fine people who support Donald Trump. That's part of the journey, Matt, to be honest. I was living on the West Coast of the United States, a very kind of liberal area. And you kind of look across the country, as I guess many people, you know back home look at the states and think, my goodness, Donald Trump, are you kidding me? But here we are, we're 2.5 weeks before the election, and, you know, 47, 48% of the country's voting for Donald Trump. And I just feel like many people that I don't know who these people are. What do they think? So the whole point of the journey was just to travel across America for a couple of months through the election campaign and trying to kind of find out who these people are, what do they think, and why they support this guy.
And what sort of things have you been finding? Because you sort of said it there, you know, that these are people that you like and you find likeable, and yet they're voting for Trump. You know, how could they?
Yeah, it's again, very interesting. Just quickly, Matt, I wrote a piece about, I stood in a queue, and I'm talking American now, in Tucson for 5 hours, and chatting to really wonderful people, really nice people. The story is a familiar one once you get into conversations. Essentially, there's a huge swathe of this country who feel as if they have been forgotten. I mean, you had the deindustrialization, the whole kind of Rust Belt thing falling apart. So there is that. So they kind of feel economically forgotten. They feel that Washington, D.C. doesn't speak to them. And it's really not Republicans or Democrats that they are upset with. They're just upset with all of them. And there's this sense, and it's got worse in recent years, and you see a lot of it, and I'm kind of guilty of it as well. You see a lot of, they get mocked. They get mocked for look at these stupid people. And you'll see the videos and social media from these American comedy shows, and they'll ask people about a Trump policy. They won't really be able to articulate it.
Hang on, Donald Trump can hardly articulate it himself.
Well, there is that. But what lies underneath that, Matt, is just a sense of being forgotten, being belittled. And they're just really, really angry, Matt. People are really, you know, they're fed up with the Democrats, they're fed up with Republicans. I know Donald Trump is under a Republican banner, but they don't see it like that. They just see him as a he fits them like a T-shirt. You know, they just see him as a big two fingers to the people who have done this to them. Because I tell you what, Matt, I was in Springfield the other day, really the famous place, and, you know, where they were allegedly eating the cats and dogs. Of course, they're not.
And the geese.
And the geese. And these people are, that town is benighted. It's a mess. And if I'm living in Springfield, I would be pretty, the influx of Haitian immigrants is a complicated story.
It's not as big as Donald Trump has been lying about. Even in recent days, he's been talking about 36,000 Haitian immigrants dumped into Springfield. This is a lie. And he went without fact checking on a Fox Town Hall about it. He just exaggerates and makes up things and gets people angrier by telling them lies.
I get that. That's absolutely right. You are right. But there is a, the thing that Trump, Trump hit on an underlying truth there, though, Matt. You know, that this event happened in Springfield for all sorts of really good reasons. And the Haitian immigrant community in Springfield is kind of working. It's really, it's going well, but it's not quite right yet. And of course, Trump alights on that. That's his, I'm not going to use the word, you know, people always quotes and quotes genius, but that is his evil gift. He kind of seizes on something and just gnaws away at it. And of course, the lies are just preposterous.
But and they're dangerous lies. Isn't that the problem? I mean, and I know there are going to be people listening to us and are going to say, oh, Matt's after finding another person who shares in his Trump derangement syndrome. You know, this sort of put down that you can't criticize Donald Trump, because if you criticize Donald Trump, you're in somehow, you're mad and you're elitist and all the rest of it. But Trump, in that same Fox News town hall the other night, when he was being challenged on it, was, oh, I'm only reporting what has been reported.
Of course.
So no evidence whatsoever. But there were serious consequences for a lot of people out of what he did, as cheaply as he did. And I suppose that brings me to the question, is that, well, I understand that there's this underlying deep concern about people feeling that they've been left behind. And there is quite a lot of poverty in the United States, particularly when you get away from the coasts. But how is Trump going to make anything better for them? I mean, what makes them think that Trump will make anything better, particularly as he'd already had 4 years in which to make things better for them?
Yeah, but, well, he won't. But I mean, again, there is no general grasp of policies or any sense of, you know, history or context. It's a kind of guttural response to what they feel has happened to them. That is it. There is no, I mean, it's quite remarkable, Matt. When was the last time you heard somebody speaking about the fact that Donald Trump is a convicted felon? It's quite astonishing. It's got to the stage now that not even the, you know, Kamala Harris or Tim Walz or any of the Democrats ever mention it. I was driving through Pennsylvania the other day and I saw a billboard off by the side of the freeway, the highway, and it was a Donald Trump convicted felon. That's the first time I've seen mention of it for a very long time. None of it matters. It's all guttural. It's all instinct. It's all anger.
Lawrence, it's worse than that, because even the other day he got the actor Dennis Quaid at a rally for him, getting up and saying that the Democrats allow the felons, they import the felons, the criminals. And there he is supporting a man who has been convicted himself of over 30 felonies. And yet he's claiming the Republicans to be the law and order party. So Pennsylvania I'm interested in because, well, for two reasons. One, I actually filmed there in March 2017 after Trump beat Hillary Clinton to win the 20 electoral college votes in a place, Lehigh Valley in Bethlehem, which was the place where the old steel factory was, which now is shut down as quasi-museum. And just getting a sense of the resentment that the jobs had been lost and incomes had been damaged and all the rest of it. It's said that if Kamala Harris is to have any chance of winning the presidential election, she has to win Pennsylvania. What sense did you get?
I would be astonished if she didn't win Pennsylvania. I absolutely would. I mean, you look at the polls and it appears to be very tight. But again, it's always very tight. But when you get on the ground, I spent last weekend in a place called Erie, Pennsylvania. And it's just a quick vignette here, Matt. I went to the Republican Party headquarters. This Erie County is the bellwether county in the bellwether state. It is absolute. It's ground zero of this election. You go there at the weekend, you go to the Republican Party office, and the place is essentially derelict. There is nobody there. There's two or three people. It's a kind of dissolute little scene, a couple of nice young guys. But there's no campaigning. There's no phone banking. There's no nothing. Then you drive across, you know, 20 minutes across the town and you pop into the Democrat office and the place, there's a party going on. There's 200 people there. There are phone banks in the corner. There are volunteers spilling out. You get a real sense of, my goodness, there's a real, you know, and a team and a, you know, and a live campaign. But compare that to the Republican campaign, which is essentially non-existent.
But hang on, but sorry, Lawrence, could it be that the Trump campaign is a different campaign now, that, you know, in taking over the Republicans, he has essentially subcontracted out the campaign to various PACs and various other groups who are doing the work for him? Now, that's brings around the question as to whether you actually need people on the ground. You know, you're doing the reporting going meeting people. Do you have to be shaking hands and urging people to vote rather than just doing it online?
Yeah, you do. Again, this whole thing about farming out to PACs. Well, who are these people? They're, America PAC. I mean, we can go through all the names, but these people have no, these organizations, A, they're kind of paper organizations. I mean, Elon Musk has got an organization. He's nowhere. He's meant to be, his crowd are meant to be in Pennsylvania. They're not there. What they are doing is all kind of digital advertising. It's all, it's mailer stuff, but that's not the same. Qualitatively, it's a miles away from what is really required. And you get a real sense that, that, I mean, if Harris doesn't win, I would be absolutely shocked in
Oh,
Pennsylvania.
you're a Pennsylvania. What about overall, though? Because the bookies have it that Trump is going to win. The various polls seem to be trending towards Trump. Now, on the other side, you do have Kamala Harris taking in extraordinary amounts of money in donations, and sometimes they say follow the money, that the money goes to the winner. But, a lot of the Trump supporters are saying, look at what's happening on the polls, and look particularly at what's happening in the betting markets.
Well, I think that's a bit a Harris victory. I'm not saying she's going to win, but a Harris victory is fantastic value. I'll tell you that right now. The polls, again, somewhat complicated, Matt, that there is a flood of these, trash polls. Republican organization polls are flooding the market, flooding the polling, the information market. It's all part. I mean, we talked about all the various lies about immigration and immigrants. I mean, the polls essentially are another version of that. A lot of them are. I mean, you can read up on this kind of organizations like Rasmussen, Trafalgar. You can go through them. Patriot Polling. These are all Republican organization polls. They're flooding into the information market and somewhat skewing the polling averages. Again, as for the betting markets, there's an amazing piece. People would have to go and seek it out about. There's one. Again, I'm not saying this is the absolute reason for it, but it's fascinating. There's a couple of extremely large single bettors out there in the market who are essentially moving the betting market. Again, I'm not sure yet who's going to win, but right now the value, if I'm not a gambling man, but if you are, I think the value is all with Harris. Absolutely.
Something else, and the people you're talking to, how many of them actually have concerns about what happened on January 6, 2021? Because wrongly, I thought, but that's the end of Trump. American people might want the way that he wants to stick two fingers up to the establishment, but not to the extent of orchestrating a mob to riot at Congress. And yet he's
Matt,
recovered from that. How? What do they say about that?
Again, it's one of these subjects that does not come up. I mean, I drove through Montana a couple of weeks ago. I spoke to lots of people about that. My goodness, you have to really push them. And again, I keep coming back to this. He has this ability to shape, certainly not the national conversation, but certainly the conversation within his own base. You cannot, you bring up January 6th, oh, that was everybody was just having a party. You bring up the debate. I mean, I spent the night watching a debate with the local Republicans in Arizona, and he got smashed that night. But my goodness, you talk to them in post-debate, or you talk to them in the days and weeks afterwards, oh, it was three against one, that debate was rigged. Well, of course it wasn't. But again, January the 6th, the debate, the immigration, people will not listen. There's a 40%, 43% of the American people will not listen to reason on this. They are angry. They are determined to vote for this guy. It's really quite, I've never experienced anything like this in my life. It's quite astonishing.
And Lawrence, just how divided do you think is the country? Is it actually divided? Trump goes on about the radical left and all the rest of it, and that he plays upon this disaffection. But it does seem to have triggered over into outright racism and anti-foreigner xenophobia. I mean, how much of that did you come across?
There's lots of it. But again, I keep coming back to this, not in an explicit way. It's almost, there's a lot of it. There certainly is. I mean, again, I'm writing today about, some neo-Nazis that I ran into in Idaho. There's a fair amount of it. A lot of it latent, that this guy brings it out in people. In terms of, is the country divided? Well, it kind of is. I sort of worry in a way, Matt, because as I say, there is this 40%, and if or when Trump loses, where do these people go? What is there for them? Because they will be so disaffected, they were, again, alienated. What do they do? That's the issue for me. That's what makes me worried.
But Lawrence, is it not the case as well, though, that even if Trump was to lose, he will deny that he's lost, and he will claim that there were... But not only will he claim that the election has been stolen from him, that he will this time perhaps try and mobilise even further beyond what he did on January 6, 2021.
I think you're right about that. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think this trying to change the conversation on polling, with flooding the information area with this daft polling, it's all a pretext for if and when he loses. Because hey, the argument will be, hey, hang on a second, these polls were, these polls all had me leading here, there and everywhere, and yet I lost. It must have been rigged. That's what's going to happen. The difference, of course, this between this election and the previous election, Trump actually had his hands on power, in 2020, and still didn't pull it off. I mean, what he did was awful, but he had his hands on power, and he still wasn't able to pull it off. So this time around, if we get to a similar situation, you would have to think, well, he has control over nothing. He'll just be, howling at the moon or, screaming, it was rigged into a void. There won't be another January 6th simply because, Joe Biden will still be president. And that just won't happen.
I
do worry about it.
Couple of things just to finish, Lawrence. Six Trump rallies. I mean, my God, what's it like to endure six Trump rallies?
They're awful, Matt. He's a terrible public speaker.
Yeah, no, he's the best. He is the best, particularly when he's weaving.
It's really awful. And it's true. I wrote a piece, Matt. At one of the rallies, I just stood at the exit door and I wrote from the exit, scenes from the exit door, I call it. And it's true. People will start leaving straight away. Part of that is you want to be there for or people, not you, but people want to be there to say they've been there and they're straight out. But it's they're awful, and you can sense it. He senses it as well. I mean, he was for a time there, he was speaking up to 1 hour, 45 minutes or something. These rallies are now getting cut down because he says he knows that he can't.
Or he stands there dancing like he's back in the nightclubs of New York of the 1970s. But one final one, Lawrence, on this, because I know that this is going to drive some of the Irish Trump supporters mad. We're talking about Trump all the time. He just tends to suck all the air. And mean you've only been to two Kamala Harris rallies and we haven't spoken about her suitability to be president? Is that part of the problem, that Trump still is the dominant force and personality? And that's why, despite what you think from having spoken to many people as you go around, why he might still win?
If you set your hair on fire, people are going to look, aren't they? You're absolutely right. But it's slightly a technical issue. It's really quite hard to get into a Kamala Harris rally. They keep these things very close hold, and you can only find out, a few hours before, and you're stuck in Idaho and the rally's in Pennsylvania. You're struggling, let me tell you. She's really coming into her own over the last week or so. She did an interview with Fox News last night, which was really straight into the lion's den, and she kind of knocked it out of the park. She's really, you kind of sense that she's kind of got the bit between the teeth. She's stepping up she's doing four or five rallies today alone. So she's really, I think she's growing into it. She's looking pretty good. I think they're, again, reading between the lines of what the advisors are saying and the kind of surrogates, I get the sense that they are kind of quietly confident.
Okay, just to finish, I have now downloaded the Substack app, because that's where I can find your writing. And so I think if people go in there, they can either find it under your name, Lawrence Donegan, or under the name of the blog. And this is going to drive some people mad. Goodbye, Donald.
Yeah, that's goodbye. Actually, goodbye, Donald. I did want to put a question mark in, but you can't do that on Substack. So it's goodbyedonald.substack.com. You don't actually have to download the app. You can just, stick that into your Google machine and you'll find it. It's been really... really, really, I'm glad I did it, Matt. It's the experience of a lifetime.
We'll talk to you again before Election Day. Lawrence Donegan, thank you for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.